This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. You know, there are wonderful things that are happening, and one of the things that we don't want to miss what God's doing, amen? And that's one of the enemy's tactics, is to cause us to try to miss what God is trying to bring to us. And the reason for this is because what he does is he tries to get our eyes on ourselves. Amen? And then we get into woe is me syndrome and so forth. We are in such a, again, I want to share, and I've been expressing this, we are in a tremendous transition. We are in a tremendous time right now, and where the body of Christ is in a tremendous battle. I would say, I know that there was a lot of persecution, and we've read about persecution in the Old Testament, or, you know, in the days of the apostles, when the first 12 started and went on, when Rome destroyed and killed many of Christians and even Jews. And that was a persecution for that season and that time. And then during the Dark Ages, and even the church persecuted its own self. But we are in a time of persecution also. And there is a tremendous battle going on. You know, we don't even really see the persecution because we live in a country that's not being persecuted in its true level compared to other nations that are being persecuted as Christians. But the persecution is rising more and more and more rapidly. And persecution in the arena where prayer has been taken out of school, where the commandments are being removed from public places, which were put into place by the government, where government officials are being replaced with demonic officials. And it's causing more and more persecution. Again, we're seeing now the government take from the people so that people can be more dependent on the government. And in this, even in the Word of God, there was a period of time when everything was taken and they had to begin to rebuild. And I believe that right now we are in such a rebuilding state of being that it's going to move very, very rapidly. Very rapidly. Because the body of Christ is now getting armed in a more strategic way. We have seen ministries that have opened up that are now doing 24-hour prayer. We are seeing worship go up more than we've ever seen, I'm telling you, ever. There is more worship today than there ever has been since the creation of time, except when Lucifer was the praise and worship leader. And he doesn't like it. So we are seeing this rapid move of rebuilding. And in this rebuilding, God is releasing a building anointing. Why? Because we must move quicker. When they were building the temple, the Lord gave men that had no talents, talents. They just downloaded, you know. You saw, see the Matrix movie? They just, they made a connection to a memory bank. They make a connection from heaven now. And in this building anointing, the purpose of the building and the anointing is the anointing to build. And it's so that we can become more united. We can become more like-minded. So that in this arena of building, we are building God's house, God's temple, and God's kingdom. Those are the areas that we're building. And I'd like to go to Matthew 16. And we've gone over this many times. But I think we need to get a fuller understanding of the building anointing. And again, the building anointing that is being released is the anointing to build. Now, some of us have been astray. Some of us have been in and out of churches and so forth. And all of a sudden, there's been a taking of your heart. There's been a stirring of your heart in the arena that you might not be able to understand it. In fact, you might not be able to figure it out. But there's been a taking of your heart that says, there's something more I'm supposed to do. There's something more I'm supposed to do. And in the something that's more that we're supposed to do, what he's asking is to get rid of you. Because you can't do until you're gone. And then he begins to take over. But in this is because of the anointing. The Bible says that the anointing draws you. And there are three major anointings. And they are associated with the three chambers of the tabernacle of God. The anointing that draws you is called the anointing of salvation. The anointing that brings you into the second chamber is called the priestly anointing. And the anointing that brings you into the third chamber is called the kingly anointing. And that's where warriors are established. So there are three anointings that God begins to utilize, and he brings you from one chamber to the other until you no longer desire any other chamber but the chamber of kingship and warrior. And to maintain that chamber, you must fulfill priesthood. And you'll see how this all begins to coordinate. Because a priest is one who ministers to the Lord. And priesthood is established by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's how priesthood is established. Other than that, without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, you cannot maintain that chamber. Has everybody got it? So other than that, we're just associated with salvation. And we don't want just the salvation anointing. We want to go to the priest and to the king, the kingship anointing, or what we call the warrior anointing. And in the Old Testament, when they were building and restoring the walls in Jerusalem, it was the warriors that were building. In fact, they would build with a sword in their hand and a trowel in another. They would build with one sword in one hand and a hammer in another. Because the enemy does everything he can to prevent the building to continue. So in this, I want you to understand that there's a couple things, and we're going to go through this. You cannot build without a victory of battle. Building is not established without having victory in the battle. Has everybody got it? If there's not victory in a battle, you can't build. So all building is associated with battle, isn't it? And when there is victory in a battle, building is being built. If there's not victory in the battle, building's not being built. In fact, it's being torn down. So you may be victorious in the financial world system, but be a failure in the building of God. You may be a good husband and a good wife, but you may be a terrible builder. And God is raising up builders right now. The anointing to build. Called the building anointing is being released. In Matthew 16, in verse 13, it says, when Jesus came into Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Again, here is the arena of the beginning of the building. Personal relationship. You can't build without knowing him. Why? Because if you don't know him, Who are you building for? And when you don't know who you're building for, you're not detailed. Verse 16. And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ. You're the anointed one, the eternal presence, power, and truth of God Almighty, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock," which means revelation, "I will" what? "Build." Everyone see this? "Build my church." So the church will be built by the anointing. That's why God is releasing the building anointing right now. And he has been. "And the gates of hell shall not" what? "Prevail against it." Why? Because the building anointing takes a warrior. Has everybody got it? You must be able to battle and build. In verse 19. And he says, "And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Again, the anointing, which is the eternal presence and power and truth of God Almighty, it is to build with keys. That's why he releases the keys. So you and I have the keys of the kingdom to build. It's a turnkey operation. So we are to build with keys, weapons, and endurance. Keys, weapons, and endurance. Again, the battle and build go together. The purpose of the battle is to establish dominion. I'm going to say it again. The purpose of the battle is to establish dominion. In other words, you must battle to take land. You must battle to take places. You must battle to take atmosphere. You must battle. The purpose of the battle is to establish dominion and clear the way to build. Because if you ever notice that, companies don't come in and just build on trees. They clear the land, don't they? They clear all the debris, the things that are in the way, so a foundation can be laid, right? So the purpose of battle is to clear the way to build, and that is God's kingdom on earth. So we are to clear the way so that the kingdom of God can be built on earth. Because the ruler of this earth is Satan, so we must take dominion. We must take places spiritually and physically. But nothing is taken physically until it is taken spiritually. Amen? Unless it is taken spiritually first, the building will not last because it is built on the wrong foundation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now again, I want to share with you that Jesus said, "Who do you say that I am?" So the first building that must be established is you. That's why the Bible says you are the temple. That means personal. Who do you say that I am? So the first building must be who? Us. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 11. Let's go through this, please. Is everybody there? Oh, Floridians and New Yorkians. you U.S. citizens and whoever. "We have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. You are not restricted by us, but you are restricted by your own" what? "Affections." These are called emotional attachments. You're restricted by your emotional attachments. In verse 13. Now in return for the same, I speak as to children, you also be what? Open. Now he's explaining to us. He says, do not be unevenly yoked with, together with who? Unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion has light with darkness? Now, understand what he's saying here. It doesn't mean that you can't go to work because an unbeliever works there. That's not being yoked with them. Amen? That means you're not going to go out and marry someone that's an atheist if you're a believer. In fact, we can go deeper than that. You want to be on the same belief system. I would not go out and marry someone who doesn't believe in casting out devils, laying hands on the sick. Because my main ministry would have to be in my home then. I'd never get out. Hallelujah. Praise God. It says, for what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness, and what communion is light with darkness? In verse 15. And what accord has Christ with Belial, and what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with what? Idols. Is an emotional attachment an idol? Yes. Yeah. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I'll dwell in them, I'll walk among them, I'll be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore means if you'll do this. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I'll be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. In other words, remove emotional attachment. Remember, the first building he's going to start with is me and you. Amen? Remove the emotional attachments. These are idols. You know, you're your worst idol. Amen? You're your worst idol. And by us being our worst idol, we must be careful. Amen? Because in this arena of being our worst idol. Actually, we're our best idol, actually. We're always looking in the arena where what is self-fulfilling. Self-fulfilling. And the world can only offer you a temporary fulfillment. Only the Lord can offer you a continuous fulfillment. That's why we're always desiring to be filled, filled, filled. That's why people are, they get fulfillment by constant work. That's an idol. There are some people whose children are an idol. Spouses can be an idol. And there are people that the only thing they want to do is stay healthy. And there's nothing wrong with being healthy. But if you put so much time into being healthy and neglect the things of God, that becomes an idol. Amen. Believe me, I like going to the gym, and I like playing tennis, and I like recovery. But it's not my fulfillment. I do it for a purpose that I can have longevity on this planet to fulfill the plan of God in my life. I don't do it to attract myself. If you do it to attract yourself, then it becomes an idol. Everybody got it. Hallelujah. So in this, one of the requirements is to remove emotional attachments of idols, worldly lusts, carnal precepts, a hardened heart. You know, we're so accustomed in our worldly senses that we've got to begin to be led by the Spirit in the arena that we're not led by senses, we're led by His presence, we're led by His voice, we're led by an eternal instinct. It's almost like a pilot. He's got to learn how to fly at night without any viewing of anything. The only thing he can see is instruments. I remember when I used to fly with in the military, and the pilots used to have to go through training, and I would sit as a co-pilot or a plane captain. And they'd have to have these helmets that came down, and we'd be in a helicopter, and these helmets that came, this visor came down, and it was black. They couldn't see anywhere out the window. The only thing they could see was below them, all the instruments. And they had to trust them, but their natural instinct was to look out the window and determine certain things. And they had to be broke from them. That was a part of their training, because they were so accustomed to the natural instinct and sense that it had to be removed, and they had to rely on the instruments. And that always reminded me from the moment I got saved and how the Lord would train. You know, a person that is blind physically is more sensitive to the things around them. See, we've got to become more sensitive to the things that are spiritual. So he's going to ask us, what he's going to do with us then is he's going to begin to remove these things that are dependent on, things that we've trusted, so that we can be more dependent on him. You know, many people trust in their own talents. Oh, I can do this. Because they're trusting in their own abilities, but they're forgetting where they came from. The word says, curses the man who trusts in man, and blesses the man who trusts in the Lord. Amen. And if we're only thing that, so what can happen then is we create our own limitations. Because the word says we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So if the only thing that we are relying on and dependent on is our abilities, then it brings a limitation when God is trying to bring you to another place to learn something else. I can't do that. Right. That's why you're supposed to learn it. We get people to come in a discipleship house. I can't do this. Right. That's why you're here. Because you can't. How's it been working for you out there? Hallelujah. So the things that the Lord begins to remove from us, those worldly senses, those false perceptions, dreams. There are certain dreams that, in certain areas, that promote contamination and separation from God. Idols will promote contamination and separation from God. That's why we need to remove ourselves. We're going to get into that later, not today. Jeremiah 18. So who does the Lord start with first? Us. Welcome to the house of death. Jeremiah 18, verse 1. Let's grow there. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will call. I said, what? I will cause you to hear my words. He didn't say listen. He said hear. So everybody got it. I'm going to cause you to hear my words. Hearing means you get it. It comes from the mind into the spirit. In other words, you're always receiving. How can I teach what I'm being taught? That's what causes hearing. Do you ever talk to someone and they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I got it. Yeah. Okay. 10 minutes later, you say something. What? What? You know why? They weren't hearing. They were listening. They weren't hearing, because hearing takes focus. It has to be a desire to want to learn. If you don't have a desire to want to learn and a desire to change, you will never hear. You will only listen. Has everybody got it? Hallelujah. And he says, I'm going to cause you to hear my words. Verse 3. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was, making something at the wheel. The wheel is the Holy Spirit. And the vessel that he made of clay was what? Marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it what? Again, into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. So understand, that is the process. What's going to happen is God's going to mold you. You're going to learn certain things, and he says, time change. Now let's redo. See, you are in, on and off of the wheel. When he puts you on the wheel, don't jump off. Many people say, fire, oh Lord, I want the fire of God. And when it comes, they run. Oh, man, because the fire is refining. It's purifying. It's not goosebumps. It's fire. It's to cook you. We are the clay. He is the potter. The wheel is the Holy Spirit. The process that God uses us in the arena that he is building us so we can become builders. In this process, he begins to release more and more anointing in our life as long as we're faithful. So he teaches us. We learn it. He says something new. Remold. Remold. Now, what will keep the remolding further is if what you learn, you're maintaining the practice of it. If you're not putting into practice what you've learned, you're back on the wheel quicker. Is everybody with me? Again, you're back on the wheel quicker. And you find yourself always in the wilderness and never out. Because in the process of building, you're in the wilderness, come out of the wilderness, or you're getting ready to go back in. See, if you find yourself constantly in that wilderness, in that arena of dryness. Now, again, I want to share with you that there is a dry spell. There's a tremendous dry spell right now. But only those that are hungry and thirsty are getting filled. Other than that, others are staying dry. It's the same thing with the 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise and 5 were stupid. Are you listening? No, you better be hearing. Hallelujah. 5 of them were wise enough because they used what God had given them and maintained it to stay filled. They kept the oil. They kept their lamps going. Those who were unwise became complacent, lazy, and compromising. And when the Lord was returning, the 5 that were unwise said to the 5 that were wise, give us some of your oil. Let us buy from you. No, go out and get it yourself. We had to purchase it. See, you can't purchase somebody else's oil. You must purchase your own. And in this process, as God uses us in his kingdom to build, there's many times when there'll be a shift of strategy and a battle array change. But the process of building self continues the same. Is everybody okay? So when we're building the kingdom, there's strategies and shifts and battling arrays that can change. But his process changing me and you doesn't change. You will always go on the wheel and then come off. Is everybody all right? Hallelujah. Until you come to the end of yourself. So what he does is the process of building, again, doesn't change. What's he do? He builds, crushes, builds, crushes, builds, crushes. Do you know that coal, when it's crushed and it's pressed real hard, you know what it turns into? A diamond. Do you know that gold, when it is heated, becomes transparent? You can see through it. That's why God uses heat or fire trials in our life until we become transparent and you're no longer seen. He is. Oh, glory. The time between crushing again can increase or decrease depending on your submissiveness, your obedience, and, of course, according to your preparation for the next building of his kingdom. Go to 1 Peter chapter 4. The building anointing is to what? To build. It is the anointing to build. Well, I don't want to build. Well, then be a farmer. 1 Peter chapter 4. But be something in the kingdom. Don't just keep the seat warm. That's why they call them pews. You sit too long, you get stinky. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Don't be a pew sitter. I ain't going to sit next to you. And verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery. The what? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. The what? The fiery trial, which is to try you. Yes. As though some strange thing happened to you. You've been asking for it. And when it comes, don't grumble and complain or blame anybody else for your trial. And don't try to bring anybody else in your trial. It says in verse 13, but what? Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Isn't that something? If you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, or an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for what? Judgment. Where? To begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? So understand, your fiery trials is the area that you go back on the wheel to get crushed. So you become transparent. Amen. So Christ can be expressed through you, and so that you can continue to build the kingdom of God. So everybody got this? So don't run. Fight. Submit. And die. It's real simple. Ephesians 2. I didn't say it would feel good. I said it was simple. Why is it simple? Because it's yes or no. It's yes or no. That's how simple it is. Okay, I'll do it. Nah. So you're either in rebellion or you're in submission. Ephesians 2:19. Hallelujah. Now therefore you are no longer what? Strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, and whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Dwelling place for the Spirit. You are called to battle. Everyone say, I'm called to battle. To clear the way to build. There is no building without battle. There is no building without victory. 1 John. First John chapter 3. Hallelujah. Verse 7. Let's speak it together, please. First John chapter 3 and verse 7. Little what? Little children, let no one what? Deceive you. Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception. He who what? Practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. He who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. So, what was Jesus doing then? He came to do what? Amen. Was he to build? But first he had to do what? Battle. Listen, if Jesus had to do it, don't you think we did? His kingdom did not start to build until he battled. He didn't go around doing nothing. He did not cast out a devil. He didn't do anything. Amen? He first began to get trained. Then he went to battle. He overcame the devil. Then he began to build. But it first took training. And training is associated with suffering. Suffering is associated with fiery trials. So you thought you were just going to go get a cemetery degree, huh? For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. In this, the children of God and the children of the devil are manifested. Whoever does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor is he who does not love his brother. Again, destroy the works of the devil. That's why Jesus was manifested. Our purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Remember, our call is to what? Battle. Our purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Amen. To pick up the cross that uses the weapons of his name, his word, and his blood. The name of the word and the blood of Jesus Christ are the three major weapons of God. We are to destroy demonic structures of rulership. We are to destroy demonic structures of rulership over cities and nations and towns. Now, I'm not telling you to go out and destroy every gargoyle that's on somebody's front lawn, or those demonic arenas, or burn your money that has the sun god on it. Okay, what I'm talking about is spiritually. Okay, that's pulling down strongholds, calling down destructive fire in high place of Satan's, all of his altars and pagan altars. We're to destroy those things in battle. And then what we do is we call forth by replacing these arenas with the kingdom, God's kingdom, his governmental kingdom. That's why we're to ask the Lord to expose and remove those in the political arena that are coming against the will of God and persecuting God's people and putting his servants in place with wisdom, knowledge, and protection and favor. That's how we do it. We don't go to the governmental place and protest. We don't start buildings on fire physically. We do it spiritually. Then it manifests physically. Hallelujah. When we begin to remove these places and destroy these high places and Satan's altars and the places that they're governmentally ruling and they begin to be replaced, what begins to happen now is this will establish a life of Christ in the land with people who will get set free from sin, sickness, demonic oppression, and all things that are against the law of the kingdom of God. This is how it's done. Has everybody got it? You cannot go evangelize without battle. Because what you build will be destroyed. You first must move out the arena of the demonic structures in heavenly places. All of their rulership must be bound, blind, mute, and deaf, and removed. And that the kingdom of God's governmental officials can get into place spiritually first, then physically. God's invading forces are rising right now, and there's a cause of transformation in the earth. And these things are caused by what we call the rock of revelation, or the building anointing, amen, and the foundation of truth. And again, it starts with me and you first, doesn't it? Amen. Our battle is with the sword of the Spirit, and our building is with the trowel in the other hand, amen, or a hammer. Hallelujah. Hebrews 3. Glory. Hebrews chapter 3. Are you willing to go through the process to be a builder? Or do you want to stay a farmer? Well, there's nothing wrong with farming, but we want to do more than just plant seed, don't we? We are called to do more than just plant seed. Hebrews 3 and verse 4. Would you speak it with me? For every house is built by someone, but he who built all things is God. And Moses indeed was faithful in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which would be spoken afterward. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house we are, if, everyone say if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today if you will what? Hey, he didn't say listen, did he? He said today if you will hear. If you will take what the Spirit says and put it to practice. Today if you will hear his voice and do not harden your hearts as in rebellion. In the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. Oh, hallelujah. So we must hear his voice and obtain the ability to discern. We must hear his voice and obtain the ability to discern. To what? Discern. Discerning means being sensitive, okay, and clarity. Being sensitive with clarity. That is how we discern. 1 Corinthians 3. Anybody remember the three things that we partake of Christ? The three things that we partake of Christ is we hold fast. And anybody remember them? We partake of what? His promises? His inheritance? No, his promises, anointing, and what? Victory. Has everybody got it? Or is it inheritance? You could say that also. Inheritance, anointing, and victory. Inheritance, anointing, and victory, because his promises are associated with his inheritance. So three things that we partake of Christ is inheritance, anointing, and victory. So everybody got it. Inheritance, anointing, and victory. Glory. 1 Corinthians 3. Is everybody there? Verse 9. For we are God's what? Fellow workers. You are God's what? Field. You are God's what? Building. Verse 10. According to the grace of God which was given to me as a what? Wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed in how he what? And how he builds on it. Yeah. No other foundation can another lay than that which is what? Laid, which is Christ, or Jesus Christ. Now if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by what? Fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a what? Reward. So you are going to be tested with the trials of fire. They're called fiery trials. Why? Because as God is building your house, we have a tendency to begin to add to God's building. You know, we want to design it. We want to put a little furniture here, a couple pictures here, TV program here, movies here, music here, associations, relationships that are not God ordained or approved. So what he does is he brings us through the fiery trial again, and he says, they got to burn. So as you find your house crushed and burnt again, and all the things that you began to build on again, be removed, that's okay. Don't go try to purchase them back. It's very important. Because it's called an abomination if you begin to build on those things that God has rescued you from. Amen? Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you blessed? So, again, laying the foundation, another one builds. We build, but who's building us? Amen? Now, God is going to use your hands, your mouth, to build, isn't he? He's going to use the talents and abilities he's given you to infiltrate the world system to build God's kingdom. So understand, battle is for clearing the way. So clearing the way with battle, we're destroying the altars and high places of Satan's. Amen? We're setting up spiritual posts of God's kingdom. And we are possessing the territory and land to build. Again, the first spiritual place that needs to be done is me and you. Everything starts out spiritually, then physically. It starts spiritually and manifests physically. And because we begin to, when we begin to build, it doesn't mean that we stop battling. Just because you're starting to build doesn't mean you stop battling. Battling never stops. The enemy will infiltrate the builders and disrupt the plans of God. The building, again, is only accomplished through every victory. So everybody got it. The building is accomplished through what? Every victory. Amen. Romans 12. Oh, hallelujah. The anointing building, or the anointed building to build with the anointing. Romans 12. Say, I'm the anointed building. It's being built by the anointing. And I'm going to help build another building by the anointing. Was that difficult? So it's going to take one answer, isn't it? Ah, very good. So everybody said yes. Romans 12, verse 4. Verse 4, let's speak it. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we being many are one body in Christ and individual members of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, and he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. In other words, God is utilizing you as a special talent. He's imparting in you a specific talent and ability to assist in building the kingdom of God. Amen? Praise God. Many members, different gifts. Remember, our destiny, our call is to battle, right? Our purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. And our destiny is to infiltrate the world system with the abilities and talents God's given us so we can expand the kingdom of God. Amen? And in this, what happens then, it becomes a place to rescue. It is a place of rescue. It's a place of rescue after a battle. It's a place of rescue because a building cannot be established without victory, right? So once you're in a place, now you've been placed, and I'll give you an example, like in a workplace. Just for example, it doesn't matter whether you're a secretary or whatever, or carpenter or whatever. You've been placed in a place. As long as you're still allowing God to build you, and you're maintaining that connection with the Lord, and you're in divine order, it doesn't matter where you are, God's talents and abilities that he's placed in you will utilize you to build where you are. You can be in a little office. You can be on a phone all day, whatever, wherever you are. God is beginning to build. See, you may not see it. But the next thing you'll know is people will be coming to you saying, hey, man, we're all gathering together today. Would you like to come out and we're meeting at Joe's place? No, thank you. Well, you've just chosen something that they're accustomed to. Eventually, they're going to want to know why you don't flow with them. But there's something about you that's different. And it's not because you're bad or you're strange. You're different. But there's something about you that there's a calmness, there's a peace, and there's a love. And they begin to look at you, and they actually want what you have because you look fulfilled. You look content. And you look joyful. And it seems that everybody else in the office or wherever you're at work is grumbling and complaining. But you walk away from it. Because, see, they're building Satan's kingdom and you're building God's. There's a difference. And eventually, as God builds his building there, his little sanctuary right where you're at, people begin to come in the sanctuary of the Lord and begin to ask questions. Why? Because the anointing is going to draw them to you. So everybody got it? Oh, hallelujah. So what happens then, just like we're going through it, God begins to deal with us through the fires, right? Then we get trained up, don't we? We build. We go through the fires. We get trained up, and we build. So as God begins to send individuals to you, they're going to go through the fire, but God's going to use you to train them. God's going to use you to encourage them while they're going through it. It's okay. Everybody goes through it. Because, see, they're thinking they're the only ones. And they're thinking, how can God call me and put me through all this stuff? Because he loves you. See, but it doesn't make sense to them because they only know carnal common sense. They don't know the ways of the Lord. But as they begin to get trained up, they'll begin to see more, hear more, trust more, love more, submit more, and want to do whatever it takes to please him. But it's the process, isn't it? Amen? It's the process. Oh, hallelujah. Welcome to the process. Go to Romans 15, verse 1. We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak. 15, verse 1. And not to please who? Ourselves. Oh, hallelujah. Let each one of us please his neighbor for his good, leading to edification. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written, the reproach of those who reproach you fell on him. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience or endurance and comfort of the scriptures, may have hope. Now may the God of all patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, receive one another, just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Amen? Hallelujah. In Romans 16, we're on a run. Verse 17. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. In other words, he's saying, why are you associating with them? For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own what? Belly. And by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience has become known to all, therefore I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Ooh. And Malachi 3. Malachi 3. Again, we want to use the wisdom and the discernment that God has given us so that we can be sensitive when the enemy begins to infiltrate to try to destroy the building of God. Amen? Remember, Jesus was trained, then he was anointed, then he was sent. And he went in a wilderness to kick butt on the devil. He was clearing the way to build his church. And what was he doing? He removed Satan from authority. He removed Satan from authority over those who would follow Jesus. See, he really doesn't have authority over you unless you let him. He's been disarmed to those who follow Christ. Those who do not follow Christ, he's not been disarmed. It doesn't mean he won't attack you. It doesn't mean he won't manipulate you. It doesn't mean he won't try to deceive you. Because he's always going to try to gain authority over you again if you let him. But he has been disarmed. And we do have authority over him and his kingdom. Malachi 3. So John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus. Jesus was the forerunner for the church. Are you listening? John the Baptist made clear the way. He said, behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent. Jesus came and said the same words. You and I are saying the same words. But there's always a seal that's left on the earth, and I'm not going to get into all of this. John was sealed by God. Jesus was sealed by God. And now the body of Christ is sealed by God. And when we're removed, the seals will still be. There'll be those who are sealed by the Lord. The witnesses, the two prophets, and so forth. He always leaves a seal on the earth. And in this, it's to battle, to constantly clear the way so his kingdom can be built. In fact, the last battle will be associated with Armageddon, won't it? And then his tabernacle will be established on the earth for 1,000 years. His kingdom will reign. And Malachi chapter 3. Is everybody there in verse 1? Oh, glory. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Now, he's come to his temple already through his Spirit in me and you. But he's going to come to another temple, which will be in Jerusalem, that will reign for 1,000 years. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and launderer's soap. He will set as a refiner and purify the silver. He will sit as a refiner and purify the silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord the offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I'll come nearer you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien because they did not fear me or they did not reverence him, says the Lord. For I am the Lord and I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Yet from the days of your fathers you have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, in what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. In other words, in the kingdom building, there will be always a transfer of wealth. There's always a transfer of wealth. Has everybody got it? Why? Because it takes money to buy Bibles. It takes money to build buildings. It takes money, doesn't it? So there's always a transfer of wealth. That's why the Bible talks about being a cheerful giver. That's why he talks about tithes and offerings. That's why he talks about this area of giving. We are out laboring to gather in funds to give to the building of God. Does everybody got it? To the kingdom of God, not just the building. Through websites, through the internet, through whatever it takes, where people can be built as a temple of God, be trained, be anointed, and be sent. Go to Ezra 3. And I believe because the building anointing is being released more and more, that there's going to be a tremendous transfer of wealth. It will move quickly, and we must be in position to receive. Ezra chapter 3 and verse 10. It said, when the builders laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, the priests stood in their apparel with trumpets, and the Levites and the sons of Asaph with cymbals to praise the Lord according to the ordinance of the king of David, the king of Israel. So once the foundation was laid, it was established or maintained by praise and worship. So everybody got it. Why? Because what maintains the anointing? Praise and worship. Has everybody got it? So one of the things the devil wants to do is constantly try to prevent us from the area of praise and worship. That's his job. He'd rather convince you to stay home, eat popcorn, and watch evangelists on TV. That is missing God. Everybody got it? You are missing the corporate worship. The corporate worship is essential. It says after they built the temple, the priests and everybody got together and began to worship the Lord. After they built the foundation, because the foundation is built by the anointing of God. Amen? So we see that a transfer of wealth will come and praise and worship will exalt more and more. Are we seeing that happening right now? Yes. Yes. In Psalm 133. Oh, glory. The building anointing is the anointing to build. So is a good and faithful servant a builder. Yes. Because he is a steward of the Lord's goods, isn't he? Do y'all see how this connects together? Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to what? Dwell together in unity. It is like the precious oil or the anointing upon the beard running down on the beard of Aaron running down the edge of his garments. It is like the dew of Hermon descending upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the what? Blessing, life forevermore. So there is a commanded blessing that God begins to release in this place where you and I are in divine order. The commanded blessing comes through praise. It comes through what? Praise. When you seek Him with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your strength, there's always a commanded blessing that is brought forth. I look at it, it's almost like when you're praising and worshiping the Lord, it begins to rain His glory. It begins to rain His presence. And in the rain, there is a message and a command that's sent to the earth that says, bless my child. Bless my builder. Bless my steward. Bless my servant. There's words in that anointing that comes, that hits the earth, that rain of anointing. And in every drop, there's a letter, there's a word from the Lord. And it's hitting and bombarding the earth while you're praising and worshiping the Lord. And it's commanding a blessing on your behalf. Not only that, He's snaring your enemies, so that's good. There is unity begins to happen. And again, unity is associated with abiding. And in this, that's where He requires us, those three areas of abiding. In His presence, through praise and worship. In His word, through prayer. And in the body of Christ, through gathering. And we're going to close at Hosea 4:6. Hallelujah. Hosea 4:6. Let's speak this together. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hold on. You know they're destroyed. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. What you're hearing today is imparting wisdom, knowledge, understanding, discernment, and clarity. It's bringing you vision. You have the choice to say yes or no. That's that simple. Either you're living for Him or you're living for you. You're willing to give up the things of the world for Him. If you're compromising those, you're still saying no. That's not until you pull everything out and say, I'm yours. I'm yours. I'm done with the world. I'm done with pleasing man. I'm done with building my own bank account. I'm done with building all of this other foolishness. I want your will. I want your blessing, your presence. I want everything that you paid the price for me on the cross. My people, my own people, he says, are destroyed because they're too entangled with the affairs of the world and because God's own people have become their own idols. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, understanding, discernment, and wisdom. They are destroyed for lack of true abiding. But because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you from being a priest for me. That's the second chamber. That's essential. Because if you cannot fulfill priesthood, you cannot fulfill warrior. If you cannot fulfill priesthood, you cannot build. You'll stay a farmer. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. So your yeses and nos will affect your children. It's called the ripple effect. Every decision is passed on. the enemy doesn't want you to know that. Because he wants you to just get caught up in yourself as an idol. It's all about me. Well, that is a decision that says no to God. And that will affect your children. And they will say no to God. And they will say no to God. And they will say no to God. Until finally they get to a point where they don't want to live this life anymore. That's why people take their lives. Because they don't want to live this life. When God is offering them a new life. But they're not willing to accept it. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Your discipline and consistency will prove or disprove your desire to build the house of God and the kingdom of God. Because it's going to take discipline and consistency. That will be your fruit, whether you are really, truly willing to build the kingdom of God or build your own kingdom. Don't be destroyed for lack of knowledge. Stand up. Stop being a man pleaser and become a God pleaser. And let God build your house so you can build his. Amen. Praise God. Father, we thank you for your word today. We are honored and blessed. Let the seed bring conviction, counsel, correction, and direction. And let it be protected by the blood of Christ so that it will grow and bear fruit for your glory. Lord, thank you for the warning. Thank you for letting us know what's happening right now. And thank you for preparing us. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.